Good morning. My name is John, and I thought who would be the most well-known person to speak on this morning. And so we've got John the Baptist. Well, he's called John, but he's known as John the Baptist. I came back from New Wine with quite a cold, so I won't be speaking for long. We got to New Wine, put the tent up. I went round the back to get something out the back. And Lakshmi went and put something in, and I came back in, and there was a table with a red Bible on it. I didn't recognize this Bible. I thought, goodness me, have the Gideons been here already? I thought, you know, but it was turned out Lakshmi had brought a different Bible. But yeah, I'm going to speak on John, and I just wanted to try and reframe our thinking about John. We think of him in terms of calling people to repentance, and that can seem a bit dour and a bit not very exciting for us a Sunday in the summer Sunday morning. But I think he was a lot more. We maybe misinterpret him. There was no doubt that John was weird, and I've just brought along a few props. He dressed quite weirdly. He wore camel's fur. Or hair, and I've got some sackcloth. That's the best I could get. There are no camels in Rushton, but that's the sort of thing he wore. And he wrapped it. He wrapped it with a leather belt. Nothing unusual there. That's a nice leather belt. But it's actually mentioned in the Bible, so it was obviously unusual for the time. So he dressed slightly strangely, and what he ate was even more strange. He ate wild honey. Sorry, Angela, this isn't your daughter's honey, but it's the best we could afford. And he ate locusts. And I went down to House of Venom in Rushton. And it's amazing what you can buy in there. There was an alligator about 4 or 5 foot long. It might have been a crocodile, I'm not sure. I had a guinea pig when I was young. Yeah, well, I did say to the guy, I said, is the lid going to come off? And he said, no, it's on there permanently. It's on there full. So if we had more time, I would take one out, dip it in honey and eat it. But unfortunately, we don't have time for that.
We do.
No, we don't. But we have time afterwards if anyone you'd like to try. Because apparently they're very nutritious. And if you deep fry them and put barbecue sauce on them, really good for you. Good source of protein. And who knows, in a few years' time, we might all be eating a lot more of this sort of thing. I hope it's not in my lifetime. But so John was slightly weird, and he was atypical. He called a spade. He spoke very directly. And I think one of the first things we learn about John is we learn from his life is that we need to welcome people who are different to us. People who maybe have different characteristics, maybe who come from different countries and speak in different ways, maybe pronounce words that we think, there's only one way to pronounce it and pronounce them very differently. We need to embrace difference. There's a lot of talk about neurodiversity at the moment and embracing people who are slightly different. I would never encourage you to try and be different, to be weird, but if you are, you need to accept that, and we need to be accepting, because we can learn a lot from people who are different to us. We don't all need to be the same. I don't know what it was about John that made him want to be different, but that was just him. And I think, it suited him. Secondly, in that reading about John the Baptist, we saw that he cared deeply about God's people. He had a real heart of compassion for God's people. When the people asked, what should we do? He said to them, anyone who has more than they need should give to the poor. He cared for the poor. He wanted the poor to be looked after. When the tax collectors asked him, what should we do? He said, don't collect more tax than you are meant to. Don't abuse your position. He didn't want people to pay more tax than was necessary. Goodness me, we pay enough tax, don't we? So, and I'm sure the same was the true in Judea. And when the soldiers asked him, what should we do? He said, don't abuse your power. Don't abuse that position. He cared for the people to not to be in danger from soldiers, to have to give over money. He cared deeply for God's people. John was also a servant-hearted, humble guy. Again, in that reading, it said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Now, John had quite a ministry. He was well respected. A lot of people liked him. Some people didn't like him. But he was significant. He had disciples, followers. He was probably supported by those who had money because they wanted to support his ministry. But he said about Jesus, he said, there's someone more powerful than me, someone who sandals I'm not even worthy to carry or to untie. So John knew his limitations. He didn't try and take his ministry and make it bigger than was justified. He was humble. He knew the limitations of what he was about. John was fully focused on Jesus. He prepared the way for Jesus by asking people to repent of their sins, as Cain talked about earlier and described repentance. So I don't need to do that. But he knew that being free from sin would enable people to receive God's message. And he said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He preferred Jesus. He said, this is what you really need. What I'm saying is important, but what you really need is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well as repentance. So John was weird. John cared deeply for God's people. He was a servant-hearted, humble guy. He put God first. And also, John was very brave. We didn't read it in this passage, but there was one of the rulers was called Herod, and he liked his brother's wife. And because he was powerful, he took his brother's wife, and no one said anything about it because Herod had the power, except for John, who said, you shouldn't do that. And Herod was so upset that he put John in prison and eventually had him beheaded. So John was prepared to speak the truth to power, even if it cost him. He didn't do things he wasn't pragmatic, you'd say, in that respect. He just said, this is the wrong thing you're doing. I'm going to say it. And I think that's why people liked him. He spoke to some of the religious leaders, and he spoke very clearly to them. One of the words that comes to my mind when I think about John is integrity. We have in our lounge a lovely coffee table. We bought it when we were on a honeymoon in France, and it's made of oak, French oak, which is nearly as good as English oak. But it's very solid. We also have in our kitchen some cabinets, and they're mainly made from chipboard with a thin layer of plastic formica on the outside. And they look fine and they serve the purpose. But if they get damaged and get wet, they expand, the wood inside is of not very good quality. John wasn't like that veneer. He was solid all the way through. He wasn't just a surface on the outside. You could tell that his values had transformed the whole of his life. He was solid. I just want to finish, how are we doing? I just want to finish by looking at some of the things that John said to people who asked. So people went and asked, what should we do? I'll just go back to that, because John said, anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none. Anyone who has food should do the same. basically, he had a heart for the poor. He wanted people to, if they had more than they needed, to care for the poor. He wanted people to be generous. We can find ways of being generous, and there are a lot of ways we can care for the poor. I don't need to explain them. But if you are in a position where you have more than you need, and by and large, that'll be quite a few of us, then consider those who don't have as much as you. Then to the tax collectors, they said, "Teacher, what should we do? How should we work out this life you're trying to ask us to live?" He said to the tax collectors, "Don't collect any more than you're required to." So if you're in a position of civil responsibility, stick to the rules. Don't abuse your position. And to the soldiers, now you can, I don't know if you've ever been overseas to some countries where you come across roadblocks. I have, and I've had no significantly bad experiences, but I've, you know, in a vehicle, we pulled up at a roadblock and there's soldiers with guns and they have power over you, don't they? At that point, if they ask you to dance, you dance, you know, but no one did, I'm pleased to say. But it is, they have the power with their guns, they're young, they're strong. You have to be careful. And John was saying to these soldiers, don't abuse your position of power. Young Roman soldiers, swords, daggers, it would be quite frightening if you ran across them and they decided to take advantage of you, to get some money from you. Not many of us are soldiers here, I don't know, or in the armed forces, but all of us have power to some extent. Very few of us are in a position where we have no power. It may be at home. Parents have power over children. To some extent, children have power over parents. Certainly in later life, as your parents get older, you have power over them. In your relationships, there may be relationships where you have power, you are looked up to. Maybe at work, you have power, and there's the ability to use that well or otherwise. And even in church, people have power. They can create power. And we need people with the responsibility, but we need people not to abuse that power for their own selfish ends. As John said to the soldiers, don't use your power to get money for yourself. Just be content with your pay. Be content with the responsibility you have. Don't try and extend that. So I hope in this brief time that on the day that there is baptisms happening, I've changed your view of John the Baptist. You know, if John came into this church, I would love him to come in. I would love to welcome him. I think he'd be a really interesting person to meet and to get to know and to have in our church. I don't know that I'd want to go home for lunch with him, but I think he would be great to have with us. So I hope I've managed to just a little bit change your view of John the Baptist. Thank you.